Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Credibility in Boeing has continued to drop. And there were charges that arose after investigations of the Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines crashes that determined software had a fault. And then Boeing was accused of misleading the FAA and its customers on the functions of the system. Now they've pled guilty. Peter Greenberg is our expert. You hear him, Eye on Travel. You see him on PBS. Where in the world are you today, Peter?
Today I'm out in Long Island, New York, where it's a beautiful 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah. A little steamy, right?
Just a bit, yeah.
And you've called Boeing out on all of these issues. What do you think about them pleading guilty?
Well, this is the problem here, and I have to tell you, I was very puzzled that the U.S. Department of Justice would even offer them a plea deal, given the apparent overwhelming amount of evidence they had stacked up against Boeing. But let's go back in time, as you mentioned in your introduction, to those two crashes of the Boeing 737 MAX. Boeing was then put into a trial then, and they cut the deal, and they settled that case. It was a conditional settlement. They paid about a $2.5 billion fine, and included in that settlement was Boeing's assertion that they would never repeat that behavior, and if they did, the DOJ could then prosecute them again. Then we had that door blowout, this past January, and whistleblowers come forward, and the DOJ then announced it was going to prosecute Boeing again. They did have an overwhelming amount of evidence from numerous independent whistleblowers. And then out of left field, the DOJ offers Boeing a plea deal, which Boeing, of course, accepted immediately because consider the deal. They didn't want to go through a protracted trial with additional evidence, and in this case, criminal penalties. Well, why would DOJ offer them that deal? I couldn't figure it out. And then I did. This is the major conflict of interest that we have with Boeing. It's America's largest export company. It means it doesn't just have contracts with private commercial airlines. It has contracts with the United States government, every branch of the military, every branch of the government, including space. And the argument that Boeing could make, and by the way, it was probably an effective argument, is that if we went to trial, it would shut the company down for a protracted period of time in terms of its production, and they wouldn't be able to deliver on any of their government contracts. There goes the plea deal. And that's right. That was probably going to explain this. Now, the game's not over yet because let me tell you what the fine was for Boeing. The fine for Boeing is relatively minor. It's roughly the retail equivalent of two of their airplanes. So that's the cost of doing business. They have to put together another $450 million in a fund to increase their or improve their compliance under independent supervision. And then last but not least, which is a little bit of a, to me it would be somewhat insulting, but their board of directors, I'll tell you who's going to be insulting too, their board of directors as part of this settlement is required to meet with the victim families of those two crashes. What are they possibly going to tell them in that meeting? We're sorry? That's it? You know, if history teaches us anything, it's that bad behavior only changes with severe consequences. And these are not severe consequences.
And sometimes the investigation is not deep enough without a trial to really find some of the flaws that obviously are causing these issues that Boeing is not fully, I don't think they're fully reporting.
Well, you know, Boeing's not the only entity that should be on trial here. It should be the FAA. In addition, because it was the FAA over a period of decades that knew about this bad behavior, witnessed it, and as a regulatory agency, did nothing about it. Because they looked at Boeing as their client. The client for the FAA is everybody listening to this show. It's United States citizens, not Boeing. And the FAA needs to come to grips with that, too. And so far, they're not doing it fast enough.
And Peter, you know, we had talked in the past that Boeing was founded. It was built on engineers. It then moved to making money. and CEOs who wanted to satisfy the demands that were put upon them. Has anything changed, or are they still all about making money? Or are they going to take this serious and make sure that the planes they're delivering are indeed safe?
Well, I've got to tell you, Lisa, you're absolutely right. Boeing was the epitome of engineering excellence. There was a saying, you know, if it's not Boeing, I'm not going. I know pilots that swear by Boeing, and they should. It was a company built by engineers, operated by engineers. They designed everything in-house. They innovated in-house. They built it in-house. They installed it in-house. They inspected it. And then it was a CFO mentality of pleasing Wall Street analysts, cutting costs, and then outsourcing everything that was deemed to be too expensive to do on your own. And they went from engineering in-house to outsourcing even the engineering.
Yeah.
And that's where you had the problems. And the problems just got compounded.
Frustrating. Hey, before I let you go, I want to talk about what happened in Barcelona over the weekend, where 20,000 people took to the streets to protest the amount of tourists that are flooding their city every year and saying they cause a housing crunch. Of course, they had water guns and signs and shouting and shaming people to leave, and many people did get up and leave. What do you do if you find yourself in a situation like that?
Well, let's first of all discuss how the situation came to be. It's really a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because so many of these destinations make a bulk of their GDP on travel and tourism, and yet they don't want to be overrun. You know, before this incident ever happened, you know what they did in Barcelona? Some of these activists actually removed from Google Maps all the municipal bus lines that actually went by many of the tourist attractions, because there were so many tourists that they were making it impossible for locals to get on buses. They just removed it from the map. So that'll give you an idea of the numbers that we're talking about, not just in Barcelona, but in Venice, in Amsterdam, in Rome, in Athens, which is out of control right now, and islands like Santorini and Mykonos. You couldn't pay me to go there this summer. And yet, we're no longer dealing with seasons anymore. It's happening almost all year round. So this is what we're dealing with right now. And, you know, during the pandemic, we were always searching for places for social distancing and being able to breathe. Well, it may not be the pandemic causing us to do that now, but we are looking for those safe destinations because it's getting too crowded.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to the Galapagos Islands. I can't even say it right. I've always wanted to go. And then I look it up, and it's nothing but tourist boats. And I'm like, I don't want to see it like that.
Oh, but wait a second. Wait, that's a good example that you gave me, but for the wrong reason. I'll tell you why. Because in Ecuador, the government has strict provisions, and they enforce that rigidly. They limit the number of boats. They limit the number of people in any given year. They're protecting that environment. You can't just go to the Galapagos. You have to go on a company that's allowed to go by the government and that has limited the number of people they can ever take. So there's a good example there where they've been exercising these restrictions for quite some time, and quite frankly, it's working.
And it looks like other areas are going to have to do the same, not in the name of protecting wildlife or, well, certainly the environment as well, but just by protecting their citizens and giving them the services that they pay taxes for.
Yes, they do. But the question is, how are they going to do it? In Venice right now, they're charging a 5-euro fee to anybody who visits the city who cannot prove they have a hotel reservation. They're trying to get rid of all the day trippers. Guess what? The number of day trippers hasn't gone down at all. They've paid the fee.
Yeah.
So the question is, okay, how much do you want to charge them for congested pricing? So we're just getting started here.
I bet. Thank you so much for joining us, Peter. I encourage everyone to check out petergreenberg.com. Be listening to Eye on Travel this weekend. Have a beautiful day.
You got it, Lisa.
He's one of my favorites. The news is next with Steve on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.